I'm Tabby.
And I'm Caitlin, and today we are discussing Bride by Allie Hazelwood.
This book was just a real treat.
It was truly
just a little ray of sunshine on my week.
It was. Honestly, like, it's lighthearted, it's fun.
But it has some very cool topics in it. Like, it does brush on some very interesting, like, political, like, issues in their universe, and you know, dealing with like some inner demon type stuff. And it's, I don't know, that's always fun when there's layers to the book.
There are layers. Yeah, I agree. And I think what was really exciting about this one whenever we first read it is that, because you read Love Theoretically first too, right? Okay. I had just finished Love Theoretically when I read Bride for the first time. And so I was like on a high, like I was worshiping the ground Allie Hazelwood walked on. And this book, it was just everything I wanted it to be. It was perfect.
And it is just such a different vibe than what Allie Hazelwood has given us before. And I just think that really shows like the diversity of her craft and how she can really just do it all. And I love that about her.
Yes.
She's not written anything I haven't loved.
That's so true. There are some things that I like more than others that she's written.
For
but
sure.
I've enjoyed it all, to be honest. So before we talk about what we would rate the book, I want to read the back of the book on Goodreads. And first of all, I'll say this is rated a 4.04 on Goodreads. And
Not
it
bad.
has like 350,000 ratings. That's a lot
Oh
of
my
ratings.
God.
Yeah, a lot of people have read this book. So it says, a dangerous alliance between a vampire bride and an alpha werewolf becomes a love deep enough to sink your teeth into in this new paranormal romance. Misery Lark, the only daughter of the most powerful vampire councilman of the Southwest, is an outcast again. Her days of living in anonymity among the humans are over. She has been called upon to uphold a historic peacekeeping alliance between the vampires and their mortal enemies, the Wares, and she sees little choice but to surrender herself in the exchange, again. Wares are ruthless and unpredictable, and their alpha, Lo Morland, is no exception. He rules his pack with absolute authority, but not without justice, and, unlike the Vampire Council, not without feeling. It's clear from the way he tracks Misery's every movement that he doesn't trust her. If only he knew how right he was. Because Misery has her own reasons to agree to this marriage of convenience. Reasons that have nothing to do with politics or alliances, and everything to do with the only thing she's ever cared about. And she is willing to do whatever it takes to get back what's hers. Even if it means a life alone in Were territory, alone with the wolf.
So what would you rate this book?
I would rate this book a 10 out of 10. Like I said, when I first read it, was coming off the high of Love Theoretically. So I was like in the mood for more Allie Hazelwood. And what I really liked about this book was that it was something new for her, but it still had her very like Allie Hazelwood like voice throughout it. But it was just so different from her normal stuff. I do have like one little complaint that I didn't love about the story, but it doesn't take the rating down for me. And we'll talk about it later.
Okay.
What
Yeah,
would
no,
you rate it?
I loved this book. It's like 1,000 out of 10. Like, it was so funny. Like, I laughed out loud multiple times. I didn't actually read the book. I did listen to it twice because the narrator that she always has is just phenomenal.
She's
And
so good.
I think it's Therese Plumer is her name. But she is so, so good. Listening to it, in my opinion, made it even better. Because you know how sometimes when you listen to a narrator and it's just a lady doing all the different voices, it can be like a little cringy. I didn't really get that at any point. I thought she did a really good job differentiating between all the characters. But she really just encapsulated what Misery was supposed to be. So I would definitely recommend listening to the audiobook.
I love that. And yeah, next time I do read this book, because I'm sure I will again, like next spooky season, I will definitely listen to it. Which, not that it's like necessarily, it's not spooky, but just the vampire and werewolves gives me spooky vibes.
Yeah. So let's dive into the characters of this book. There are a lot of side characters
Yeah.
that do play a really, really big role in this story. Obviously, we do have our two main characters, Misery and Low, but as funny as they were, I don't think they really carried the whole book.
No, that's funny that you mentioned that because, yeah, I loved them. I did, but they weren't necessarily my favorite. I think some of the side characters stole the show for me.
Yes, no, I would
Yeah.
agree. But let's start with Misery, Misery Lark. She is so funny.
She's so funny.
She is a little fucking weirdo, though.
But
Like,
she's so dry. She's so like, and a lot of it too is just the way she was raised. Like she in vampire culture, like they are all very dry. Like they don't really joke around. They don't
Yeah.
really have friends, or loved ones. They're kind of just a dry culture. And I love
And
that.
it's like her lack of exposure to like love and family in general was so sad, but I think that is what, yeah, like you said, just made her character even funnier because whenever someone would show her affection or would do something out of her daily norm, she's like, what the fuck? Like,
Yeah. And they were
why are
like,
you
you know
doing that?
what? That's kind of charming. You've charmed me with your little
Yeah,
weirdo
you're a little
ways.
psycho. But she was truly just kind of down for whatever.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't care what happens at this point. So if this is what needs to happen, then I guess I'll do it
All
to
she cared
save
about was
Sarita.
Serena. Yeah, she just is a ride or die for
Yeah.
her girl, Serena.
She truly is a good friend. Like, for as unfeeling as she is a good friend.
Yes. And she was only unfeeling because of the way she was raised. Like, she was
Yeah.
totally capable of all those emotions, obviously, because she falls in love with Lo, too. But yeah, she just had never really been loved by anyone except for Serena. And that's all she cared about.
And I thought it was very and peanut butter.
And peanut butter,
I
which
thought it
was
was
so
just
funny.
very interesting how like having like different types of pleasure in life was so like frowned upon by the vampires.
Yeah.
Like everything was just out of necessity. Like
Yeah.
they sleep with each other out of necessity. They only drink blood out of necessity. Like there is no time for extras. Like it
Right.
is for the good of all.
That is so like interesting too, because I feel like that is an allegory for some of the more extreme like probably religious cultures in the world. Like I don't think Allie was necessarily trying to like comment on anything. She was just world building. But I feel like some people probably who read this book can relate to how Misery
Yeah.
was feeling, because if they were raised in like a really strict society, basically, or like mini society where everything was about the good of the community. Like, I'm obviously like speaking from a place of inexperience, but I kind of imagine that's what some of the more strict like Amish communities are
Severe.
like, where it's the good of the community, not for your like specific individual pleasure.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's very interesting too, because when you see vampires depicted in like a lot of other pieces of literature, I think like you always think of them being very like self-indulgent and like wanting to experience everything that life has to offer because they're going to live forever.
Yeah.
Like, you might as well just fucking ball out. But because they're just a different species, it's not like they're a different, like, it's not like your typical vampire.
No,
Like,
it's
they
not.
don't live forever and they aren't, like, you know, just historically beautiful and all this. And it's
Yeah.
like, I thought that was really, really cool how she kind of twisted that and made it like her own.
Yeah, I was actually going to like, we can talk more about this later too in the discussion questions, because I was
Yeah.
going to ask your opinion about some of those
Oh, I'm
things.
so
No,
sorry.
you're so fine. This just shows that it's a good point for us to bring up. But
Yeah.
yes, I agree with everything that you just said. And I think that made the book very intriguing.
Was.
But yeah, that's Misery. She also just, I loved how she's a little horn dog, you know?
She was,
She was
truly.
deprived and she wanted those things that her society told her she couldn't have.
She's like, I'm like burning in my lower half, and I'm not really sure what that is, but I love
But I want to
it.
figure out how to make it like go
Keep
away
going.
too.
But also, like, she was so naive.
Yes.
Like, for as
Which.
smart as she was, such a smart person, but she was so incredibly naive.
But it makes sense because she was just abandoned as a
Like,
child.
she's just such an incredibly sheltered person. Every time she would like say something to Owen, and he'd be like, "Oh dear God, like
Okay,
you should have learned this, as a teenager." I'm just like,
well, Owen, they literally dumped her.
like, well, I don't know about you, but you actually weren't given away as a sacrifice.
Yeah,
So,
as a child. Fuck
like,
you,
her
Owen.
upbringing was a little bit different, Owen.
Yeah, Owen, he really needed to like bring himself down to
Need a
earth a few
reality
times.
check.
Yeah. He needed to be humbled every once in a
But
while.
let's talk about Lo Cortland.
He's tasty.
Delicious. Yeah. Just a little treat.
Some things that I really liked about Lo, I feel like, first of all, I liked that he was. He was the alpha of his pack, but I felt that he was very like caring and compassionate, and which was a strict like difference between Roscoe, like the other pack leader guy who like basically got dethroned and challenged by Lo. Lo was kind of the like savior of his pack, but I loved that he was just the more like. I'm trying to think of the right word I want to use here, but the more honorable characteristics of an alpha. Like he really was, he cared about protecting his pack, but from a place of like love rather than control. So he wasn't like kind of a toxic depiction of that type of macho manly man.
He was only toxic to himself because
He was toxic to himself.
he did put the well-being of others way ahead of himself. It did not matter what the situation was. And he's like, "No, I'll die before anyone else gets hurt." And it's like, "Hey, I
Yeah.
do get that, but also, like, you
But
have like a
also,
child you're raising right now.
yeah.
It's so like
You
maybe don't do that."
gotta
She
wait.
doesn't have parents.
Yeah, you gotta wait till Anna's older and then you can jump off a bridge if you want.
No, he was just truly a very complex character. I did feel bad that he never really got to, until then, he didn't really know like what he wanted, or if he did know what he wanted, it was just shoved so far down that it didn't see the light of day, because he did have the opportunity to go and like experience life when Roscoe kind of outcast him. And so I feel like he probably did grieve that at some points.
Yeah.
But again, the good of the pack outweighed what he wanted. And so it never really made a difference to him. I thought that was so sad.
That is so sad. And I'm glad that like at the end of the book, then he gets like his happy ending.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
But yeah, he never really did get to live without those responsibilities, which
Yeah.
still kind of hurts my heart.
But I guess his calling was always to be an alpha.
Yeah,
So,
and he's a
but
good one.
he is very happy, I think, with his family, and
Yes, I
is
think
what
so
it is.
too. But it's like, man, that has to be a lot of pressure.
So next person, so in the audiobook, she pronounces it Anna, but when I like looked at it in the book, I assumed it was Anna,
I would have too, which
because her name
her
is
full
Liana.
name, yeah, Anna makes more sense.
I would not have assumed it was Anna
Yeah, if I
unless
just
I
saw it
had
written on
listened
its
to it.
own. But I think that's also just like our regional accent. I think if
Sure.
people's name is spelled that way, like usually it's Anna. But yeah, Anna makes more sense based on her full name.
Yeah.
I love her.
I am obsessed with that child. I think she was truly the star of this book.
She was up there for me.
She was so funny. And she's going to be so powerful.
I
She's
know.
older, not even because of like who she is, just because of like the type of person she is.
She's so resilient.
Yeah, she's resilient. She knows what she wants and she gets it. It
Yeah.
does not
And one thing
matter.
about her too is, and this is also like she is a child,
Yes.
but she was so accepting of misery like right away. And I just thought she was such a like symbol of like acceptance and peace between like their people because she basically was like, oh, hey, you're different, but want to hang out. Like, and again, it's most likely because she was a child, but using that as like a symbol for like innocence and like peacekeeping, I thought
Yeah.
was so smart on Allie's part.
And I do think that was a commentary on how like hate is taught. Like
Yeah.
children do not know. Like they see the difference, but they don't like hate the difference between
Right.
them and
They're just
others.
like, oh, okay.
And I think, yeah, Anna was a really, really good example of that. So there are some things I do definitely think was a commentary on
Oh, for
like different
sure.
political landscapes. But
Yeah, there were layers.
yeah, no, she was funny. Her and Sparkles, for life, they are besties. I laughed so hard in that part when I was listening to that part of the book where she was like, yeah, anyway, I gotta go get back to my cat. And Missouri's like, what cat?
Your cat.
And she's like, oh yeah, no, I have a cat now. And she's like, does it look like this? And she's like, yeah, how'd you know?
Because that's my cat. Well, my roommate's cat.
And she's just like, yeah, no, that's crazy because it's actually mine. So anyway, me and
Yeah.
Sparkles, we gotta go snuggle.
And Sparkles was meant to be Anna's cat.
Yes.
It was just the fates aligned in the right way.
What an asshole cat. I love Sparkles.
I know, but I don't blame Sparkles for being wary of a vampire. I feel like that makes sense,
No,
like
Misery
instinctually.
did not love that cat.
Yeah. No, they can tell. They
Even a
can
little
tell.
bit. Her calling her like Marcy
Oh my God. Chef's
killed
kiss.
me.
That is so funny.
How
Like,
cute.
I loved everything about that child. And
She
she,
was like,
the
she
more sensitive
truly,
moments, too.
yes, was like, she had so much trauma that she did not let bother her because maybe she didn't understand like it was traumatic at the
Yeah.
time. But like any like when she was sick and she'd be like, I really wish my mom was here. I'm
Yeah, I
like,
know.
oh.
Or when she was actually like feeling the anxieties that came along with it, and like she just wanted low. I was like, stop. I can't do it.
She's just a sweet kid.
She is. And the fact that she like climbed over the roof to like get into the room. That's fucking
Just
hilarious.
appear like, do you got games on your phone? Like, can
Literally.
I sit with you? And she's like, I don't know, are you gonna pee the bed? Like,
Yeah. Oh my God. Their dynamic was so funny because like Misery did not treat her any differently because she was a child. She was like,
no.
no, I'm gonna bully you too. Like, you also have
You're
fleas.
gonna learn today.
Oh, so funny. They
That
had the
was
best
truly,
dynamic.
yeah, like not even a parental figure, but that was like the structure she needed in her life
Yeah.
was just a woman in her life that she could go to and like trust because she had Juno, but I think Juno still did kind of keep her at like an arm's length because of her differences. And I mean, Juno's respect for Lo,
Yeah, she didn't want to like overstep.
whereas Misery was like, yeah, like this is just like my little sister, she's fine.
Yeah,
I
and
love her.
that's such a good dynamic, like a good healthy dynamic for Anna because she was missing some of the family dynamics
Yeah,
that were taken from her.
Misery did not like treat her like a child, like her own child. I don't think she would ever step in like as a parental role. It is more of just like a guiding figure.
Yeah. Oh, so sweet. And speaking of Juno, like I like obviously she's so mean to Misery like at the beginning, but I kind of like respect it and appreciate it because Juno really she the only thing she cared about was Anna's well-being and like doing her part for Lo. She just cared about contributing to her family in the way that she should. And so
She's
like
a
when
good
she saw
lady.
Misery, she is a good lady. I forgive her. And Misery does too. But like when she saw Misery, she was immediately like, you're a threat and I'm going to be cold to you. And I don't blame her at all for that. I get it.
And I do think as much as I hated Jack, like Jack was a little piece of shit,
Yeah.
but is that his name? Jack? The
Jack, Jack.
one that was like a little bit off and like tried to bring Anna into the woods.
No, it's not Jack, but I'm thinking.
That's not Jack.
No,
I don't know
please.
where I just pulled Jack from.
Well, Jack is from Love Theoretically,
Maybe
for
that's what I'm
sure.
thinking of.
Max.
Max.
Yeah.
That was close. Anyway, even when they knew Max was like a little bit off, like Juno still did everything she could to like protect him against Misery. And so, again, I do just respect her because
Yeah.
even if he was a little psycho and they knew he was doing him dirty, like she still was going to protect her pack first.
Yeah, she said, that's my family,
Hope
and
he's
you're an
getting the help.
outsider. And
Hope he's getting the help he needs.
I hope he's getting, yeah, exactly. I'll support him. But yeah, there was also, like, throughout this book, there was that eventual, like, acceptance and, like, growth in their relationship, too, which again, like, symbolizes that, like, bridge between people who they have their differences and they realize they're not so different after all. Who would have
Yeah,
thought?
crazy.
Crazy how that works. And then Alex.
Alex.
I love him. So Alex is my favorite side character in this book. He is so freaking cute.
He's so
I
cute.
love him. And it is so funny how scared he is of Misery. And Misery thinks it's hilarious too. And just like uses it to her advantage. I just
She
thought
like
they're,
sneaks up on him
oh
and
my God, I would do that too if I were her. Like, I love like messing with people. I just thought he was a perfect addition to the story.
he was. And like, again, just a very, very loyal friend as well. And I think sometimes too, like as neurotic as he was a voice of reason. Like he came up with really good ideas. So I think he's going to be like a very powerful component to their pack as he gets older.
Yeah, because he's just young right now. He needs to
Yeah.
get some experience, some
Get some
wisdom.
confidence.
Some confidence would be
For sure,
key.
some confidence.
Sweet,
But that's
sweet
okay.
character.
So sweet. Mick was probably the character that I felt the most conflicted about. I loved Mick to start
Yeah.
with. Like, what a sweet, like grandfatherly character.
I
The
know.
second Anna got sick though, and he started acting super fucking weird, was when I was like, oh no,
Yeah.
like it's Mick.
It's really upsetting too, because I agree with you. There is something very conflicting about this. And I think it's because we learn that, like, it's because he's worried about his son. And so then that makes you empathize with him. And you're like, I can understand why
You do
he
it.
would do it. But then it's like, but still, what you did was so
And
bad.
if you had just gone to low about it, like
Yeah,
he
like
could have fixed it somehow.
he would have done everything. Unfortunately, he would have sacrificed himself
Yeah.
even to get your son back to safety. So yeah, that was disappointing, but a good storytelling tactic, 'cause
Yeah, no, it was. No, he was an important character. He truly was. There needed to be a betrayal,
yeah.
and it was written very, very well. I liked it.
It was 'cause it made us feel sad too.
You know who I did not like was Emery, a little crazy bitch. Like,
She's
jeez Louise.
bonkers. She's scary. I don't
But
like
she's
her.
such like an ally. Like she is like she's like love is love, and she had all this like cool hippie grandma stuff. And Missy was like, hell yeah, I can get behind this lady. And
Yeah,
then she acts like a total nutcase.
I know. She, which, I mean, hey, know what you want in life and you get it. You know what I
Again,
mean?
just very misguided.
Yeah, I think honestly,
I do think it came from a good place.
yeah,
Maybe
I can
just.
understand her thought process.
But it was just done poorly.
Yeah.
Like, you can't kill people. You can't
Yeah.
kidnap children.
Unfortunately, there is a line and she did cross it multiple times. I can't really defend that behavior.
That's all I really have to say about her. She was kind of a cunt.
Yeah. And again, like she was like important to the storyline, but she could have been replaced with anyone. I feel like
Yeah.
I guess like why she was written as herself, but like it could have been like anyone that didn't agree with Lo taking over the pack.
Because at the end of the day, it was Misery's father that was like
The
the
true
true
villain.
villain of the
Yeah.
story. He was not demure,
No,
not
not cutesy.
mindful.
Oh my God, not mindful, not considerate at all.
What was his name? I can't even remember his name. What an
I
asshole.
can't remember his name either, but yeah, he actually had no excuse for what he was doing. I cannot defend his behavior.
Like, no one asked you to do that.
And it wasn't even for the good of the vampires, like you're always trying to
No.
preach. Like, that was for the good of yourself.
This is very hypocritical.
Yeah, you're an asshole. And you should not have had children.
I don't think he wanted them. No, he did because he wanted something to control.
Well, yeah, he wanted something to, like, yeah, control and also, like, keep his legacy alive, even though his
Yeah.
legacy was shit.
And his kids hate him.
Yeah, they literally, which let's talk about Owen
I was saying, I
first.
will say something real quick about Owen. You know what? He pulled through.
He did.
He came through. I was worried for a second.
I know. There was a point that, like, yeah, they kind of, Allie set it up in a way that I was like, oh, is he about to be like, fuck you,
He's gonna
misery, you're on your
betray
own?
everybody.
Nope. He was good. He actually is what their father wanted to be, because he has like this charismatic, like he gets people on his side and like has that power, but also he is actually genuinely
A good
caring
leader,
about like his people. So it's like his father was going the wrong direction with it. I like Owen
I
personally.
loved Owen. You know what? I hope he and Gabby end up together. I feel like they had
Ooh,
something a brewing,
that would
maybe
have been
between them.
cute. Yeah, there was kind of
Either
some
that, maybe
tension
there was just like
whenever.
a nice friendship. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that would be cute. I like that idea. But then it's kind of like a little bit fucked up for you to be like collateral over there and then fall in
Yeah.
love with a vampire. I don't
I mean,
know.
that's
I
what
would still
Misery
read it.
did.
Yeah, but it's I don't know why it feels
Different because
different.
Misery, I guess, was already a collateral one. She just was like, I'll keep doing it until they kill me.
Yeah, I guess I was just feeling worse for Gabby because I'm assuming Gabby has more like sensitive feelings because she's a werewolf and not a
Yeah,
vampire.
that's fair. That's fair. I do want to talk about Serena last
Yes.
because she's kind of a dumb bitch.
Yeah.
But I loved her.
Yeah, she's a really good friend.
She's a great friend. I really felt like her being kidnapped probably could have been avoided
Avoided.
if
Yeah.
she had just told Misery like what was going
Yeah.
on. That like and honestly, we needed the story, and that's why she did it. But like, she didn't have to.
I think she probably realized right away that she fucked up.
For sure. I'm very excited for her character though, because I do think we're gonna get maybe a sequel from this
Yes, with Cohen.
with Cohen. And I think that was another reason why Allie wrote her the way that she did, was because she has given us more content in this universe, which is very, very exciting. But I do wish we had just gotten like a little bit more about the hybrids.
Yeah.
I felt like that was something kind of sprinkled in at the end, and I
Yeah.
didn't get enough information.
It did feel that is like actually, I said I only have one complaint, but maybe this is another minor complaint because I did feel like that was rushed. It felt
Yeah.
info dumpy at the end.
Yeah.
It was giving Crescent City.
It was.
But I do wonder if that is because she plans to elaborate more in Serena's sequel.
I'm sure. I just wish we had gotten more clues like earlier on in the book.
I do agree.
And like had it more interwoven into the storyline until the
Yeah.
very end, where it's like, oh, by the way, like
Right. Because it's like, oh, Misery was just completely in the dark about it the whole book, so you get to be in the dark about it too at the end.
thanks, Allie.
Like,
The
no, you could have
fuck?
given us like you
Give
could
me a
have given us some sort of
breadcrumb.
outside narrative or something. Like, there was ways it could have been sprinkled in for us.
But those are like the major characters. There weren't really too many other people they talked about, except for just some people that pop in randomly, and they were really funny, and then they left. Like the doctor. Loved him.
Yes,
He was
loved
so
him.
funny.
There were a lot of like side characters that just made it more realistic, but they weren't necessarily moving the plot forward.
But we'll go ahead and talk about some thoughts and concerns as per usual that we maybe
Yeah.
have. I don't have too many concerns. Lots of thoughts though.
Lots of thoughts. My first thought, and I realized we don't normally talk about this very much,
Oh.
but the cover of this book, the cover art,
So
so
cool.
cute, so like a spooky. I actually have the book right here, so I'm gonna force you to look at it again.
I love that it's kind of still that cartoony-esque,
Yes.
but it's different.
It's a different aesthetic. I really, really love the cover of this book. And I think that I saw a variation of it. Maybe it was like the European version or something that was
Ooh.
slightly different.
Allie Hazelwood always has really cutesy covers. They're adorable. But just like the black and white tones on this one with like the red like page inserts, I don't know, gorgeous.
Yes, agreed. Oh no, maybe I just saw someone's take on it, because I think this is the only version.
Okay. So I was very new to the Omegaverse going into this book. I had read briefly some very short stories when I first got back into reading, actually. And I was like, I don't know if this is for me or not. But that was because that's like a pretty bold thing to jump back
To
into
start
when you
with.
haven't read in a while. And so I felt like this was a good way to introduce yourself in the most basic of ways to this genre of book, because it does go into some detail about different alpha or like Omegaverse rituals, such as nodding.
Yes, it does.
And I thought it was very tastefully done.
Yeah, this is a very mild exposure to those themes. And I think I actually had read some other things prior to Bride, and they weren't necessarily the most outlandish versions of Omegaverse
Because there's
fiction.
some weird shit out there.
There is, and I think it's a spectrum for sure, and there are everyone has their own hard limits about how far on the spectrum they're willing to go. And so there are some things out there that I probably would not enjoy. But I would say in general, I do enjoy the trope. I think it's interesting, and I
If you're
like
into like
the
that
social
alpha male,
dynamics.
yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing is that's really good about Lowe's character too, is he's not aggressive and angry and toxic, which I feel like a lot of alpha males
Yeah.
are portrayed in the Omegaverse fictions as being that way. And sometimes there's character development to be had.
Well, and I think the biggest difference too was that Lo was like down bad. Like
Yes.
he would have given the world to Misery. And that is a huge difference from some of the other like alpha male type books you've read, where it's like they're almost assholes
Yeah.
about it. They're like, no, I'm in charge of you, and like you're gonna listen to me. And he did that in like a very controlled setting, like in the bedroom and like in
Yes.
very like intimate situations, but not in like everyday life.
You know, I think that's another thing that people really enjoy about Omegaverse fiction, is because the concept of mating is something that adds that emotional layer
Yeah.
to it. And it's not them being controlling, it's them being in love with and caring for their partner. And so I think that's something that really draws people in, is the
For sure.
dynamic is much more romantic.
Yeah, I was certainly not mad. I was not mad about any of those scenes. The nodding scene, amazing. I was into that.
Love it.
Like him marking her. Okay, cool. I'm behind it. I love that.
That scene
Like in
had me
Emery's house, I
quaking.
was like, oh my God, I'm blushing.
I was giggling, blushing, kicking
It
my
was just
feet.
like, because like prior to that, there had been no like really physical contact. Like you could
Yeah.
tell, obviously, Lo was like, because you got his inner monologue too, and you're like, oh, he's into it. But Misery was still very much in the dark about
Yeah.
everything.
Yeah.
And so that happened, she was like, whoa.
That's the thing too, is she was really into it, and she surprised herself, and she was so ignorant of alpha behaviors and
Yeah.
werewolf behaviors. She didn't know what the marking meant, and she didn't know that it was inherently intimate. And so she was kind of surprised, and I think that added a layer to it for
Yeah,
sure. I enjoyed
absolutely.
it.
Thanks, Allie.
Thanks, Allie. That was beautiful. So another thing that I really enjoyed about this book from Allie is that she kind of just tossed us right into the story, in the midst of the chaos. And what I really liked about that is because this book had that element of a mystery going on. Serena was missing, Misery was completely like frazzled and trying to figure her shit out. And so I thought that like really kept the momentum going for that mystery storyline,
Yeah.
which is not her normal like vibe, I feel like.
See, yeah, the only time like we really, well, it kind of hits though, if you think about it. Like, think about the love hypothesis. Like, there's always like a flashback to where like things happen, or like in the
It always
Stevenus
like
novellas, like
shows
it's always
us.
like they're in the middle of like a conflict, and then you go back like 6 days or 6 months or
You're
whatever.
right. She normally does like an Emperor's New Groove. Like, I bet
Yeah,
you're
like a
wondering how I got here.
exactly.
Okay,
So that is
yes.
pretty on brand for
So
Allie.
this was kind of a variation of that where we
Yeah, I
weren't
love
necessarily
it.
seeing the future, but we were just kind of like, shoop, skirt, where we at?
Yeah.
A stop and look at your surroundings, find your landmarks. And I liked it.
And kind of branching off of that too, I talked about it a little bit before. I love that Allie Hazelwood is trying something new. And she's even written some other books. Like she wrote a young adult book. She's getting ready to come out with something else too. But this
Are you
was
talking about the chess one, Check and Mate?
yes.
Because it was very good.
Yes. And I think that still does kind of play into like the STEM, like women in STEM type things.
Yes.
So this was completely just from the left field different than
Yeah.
what she's written. And I love that because as much as I love the women in STEM books, I feel like we were starting to get almost like a little repetitive
Yeah.
in terms of storyline and stuff. And there are some things that make
Yes.
it very, very unique. Like Love Theoretically, very unique. The one that she just came out with,
Not in love.
Not in Love, very, very different. But like it was just getting a little dry.
For
And so
sure.
this one, I don't know, it just sparked like a new interest in
I
Allie Hazelwood for
agree.
me.
And what I loved about it though is it was different, but it was still Allie
And
because
it was
she's
still
still
done very
like,
well.
oh yes, she slayed it. But what I thought was so funny is like she kept her normal touches in where like Misery, she worked in IT. Like
Yeah.
she was a woman in STEM. She just was
Right.
a vampire. And also like whenever she was explaining how vampires and werewolves work, like it's very scientific, it's
For
very
sure.
biologically based. And I just was like, she still has her little scientific touch
Yeah.
all over the book. It was
But
fun.
it's just nice to know that like she can do something different and she can do it well.
Yes, for sure.
That was very, very exciting because a lot of authors, I feel like, do just write kind of the same thing like over and over and over and over. And
Yeah.
eventually you're just like, okay, like I've read this story a million times.
And it's like, it's
What else can
good,
you
but
do?
it's stale. You know what I mean?
So I think that really just shows like that diversity and the skill of an author when they can write something different and it's good.
For sure. I agree. I think she is just a very talented author. Also, like the spice in this book was really well done because some like a common complaint with Allie Hazelwood books is like normally it can be kind of awkward. But I think one
Yeah.
thing about this paranormal romance is that it's hard for the sex scenes to feel awkward when they're so far removed from reality already. Like it
Right.
almost helped make things feel more like exciting without being weird because it's like, yeah, it is weird. It's a vampire and a werewolf. Like, we get
Yeah.
that, but we know that going in. And so it almost like,
You
I
can
feel like
suspend
it
reality
helps.
more.
Yeah, it made for some of the best, like, spicy scenes she's written, I think.
Yeah, and I think maybe that is what bothers me sometimes about her other scenes is that like they're real people and this is real things that can happen. You're just like, oh, like I read this to not think about real people.
Because I specifically am thinking about like the love hypothesis.
Yeah.
Rough.
With her knee-high socks. I don't know. That whole thing
Oh,
was just weird, putting her whole boob in his mouth. Like,
stop. I have nightmares.
yeah, that book was something else. Yeah, no, this was really well done. And there are, like I said, a lot of really cool layers to this book. Like the political landscape was super cool, but it was a nice parallel to real life things. The comedy that was added in, I think, helped pace the story really, really well. Like it was placed at the correct times. Like it was
Yes.
never like like something's going on, and just all of a sudden someone's like cracking a joke and it doesn't mesh into the scene.
Right.
So I do think she is very, very talented at pacing her stories.
For sure. I also like, as we all know, on this podcast, we're not normally like huge fans of the miscommunication trope, but I thought in this story, it was one of my favorite things about it. The fact that Misery thought that Lowe's mate was Gabby, the Ware collateral. She was like convinced that that's who Lowe's mate was. And he actually was pining after Misery the entire time, but like secretly. The only thing that I did not like actually stemmed from the miscommunication trope, though, because whenever she finally does, like, she's in love with him at this point. They finally sleep together in her apartment and she confronts him about it. Like, she basically is like, "Am I your mate?" And he lies because he feels like it would be trapping her. Like, he wants her to be free because she's like never had any control over her life. But I'm like, you could give her all the information so she can make that choice. I was bothered
Yeah,
by that.
for sure.
Specifically because, like, I think it would have bothered me less if it was necessary to the plot, but it wasn't. Because then, like, Mick, like, calls her and kind of tricks her into getting kidnapped. But that could have happened anyway. And I think it would have even been more exciting if they
Yeah.
finally admitted their love for each other, got together, and then, oh, Misery got kidnapped. I
That would
think
have
that would have
lit
been
a
better.
fire under his ass like no other.
Yeah. And it still did because he still
Yeah.
obviously was in love with her. But I think it would have been even more like exciting for them
But it's
to
like
be
we were
like,
already mad, and I
yeah,
think that would have excited people.
exactly. I think that was the way I would have preferred it to be written. But like, obviously, I
But
still
I
really
don't get
loved the book.
to
Yeah,
choose.
like, I don't get to choose. Allie did it the way she did it for a reason.
Thanks,
But yeah.
Allie.
Yeah, thanks, Allie. Love your book.
But yeah, that kind of wraps up most of my thoughts and concerns
Same.
regarding it. Overall, loved it. So good. In true fashion, we are going to just go over some discussion questions that we've come up with.
Yeah.
It was not a super, super long book, so we only have a couple this time
Yeah.
around.
And they're more general, I would
They
say.
are. But I think it'll open up some good discussion. My first one is, after reading this book, do you feel like you will continue to kind of go down the rabbit hole that is the Omegaverse? And what are some things that you think would intrigue you as you continue to read?
Great question. First of all, yes. I have already, and I will continue to do so. And let me explain why. Because this is, like I said, the Omegaverse trope is a spectrum. So I'm sure that there are certain things that have been written that I would not enjoy. I'm sure that exists. But the ones that I have read, I have enjoyed. And it's kind of like there are two different like ways you can go because it can be in this like paranormal romance realm where it is werewolves, but there's also Omegaverse fiction where it's they're humans basically with like these alternate universe biological traits.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of keeps it fresh and exciting
Yeah.
as a genre. I think there's a lot of stories to be had that way because, again, like it could either be paranormal or not. Some things that I think would intrigue me personally, I loved like the marking. I thought
Yeah.
that and like the nodding. It's very like Primal Play-esque,
Which we love.
which we love. So it's like, yeah, it's a natural extension of the things that we already enjoy reading. Yeah, and then just like the concept of like the mating bonds, I think is very romantic. It's something that's used in like fantasy books as
Yeah,
well.
but like a different twist on
A
it.
different twist. Yeah, like I just think that adds a layer. Like everyone loves a fated mate. That's cute. It could be angsty, like if they're trying to reject their
Yeah.
mating bond, or it could be like super romantic where they're like fall right into it. I just think there's so many different ways to go with the basics. And so that's why
Absolutely.
I think it's something that I will continue to seek out.
Yeah, you can definitely make it your own. And like Allie did, like she added things that you may have never seen in
Yeah.
like a Omegaverse type book.
For
Like
sure.
Like you can just add whatever you want to because it's not real.
Yeah, that's the great thing about writing fiction is it's not real.
None of it's real, and you can do whatever you want to.
Let that be a lesson for you all. If you all have a story you want to share, go ahead, post it on AO3. I want to read it.
Someone's gonna read it. We'll read
Or
it.
hey, self-publish.
Yeah.
You know?
Self-publish. Hell
Yeah.
yeah.
Get you a physical book out there.
But send it to us first. Thank you.
Send it to us. Send us an advanced reading copy.
At the sisters warden at gmail.com.
Yeah. Oh my God, we'd love to read it. But yeah, what do you think? Like, what are your thoughts about it?
So like I said, I started before I'd fully understood like what I was kind of getting into. And the books I read, first of all, I just don't think were great pieces of literature to begin with. And I feel like sometimes you do get that with some Omegaverse type books, especially if you are reading them on like Wattpad or AO3 or any of that. Like, they may just not be like the most well-written things.
For sure.
And again, it is all about like pacing yourself and what you feel comfortable with reading, because there are some aspects of it that I just can't, I don't care for. Like when it starts getting into the territory of like them like being in their animal form and like stuff like that. And like I don't love that.
I would
Like
agree.
any
That's a
intimate
hard
scenes,
limit for
like when
me.
they're like, and I feel like sometimes you see that a lot, and I again just personally don't care for that. But I do also like the mating aspect of it. I think the whole marking thing is just like a different level of intimacy, that you get to read about, but also just like the cool, like biological, like factors of it. Like you do learn a lot about like how packs work and like what it means to be in a pack and like the different hierarchy within it. And so I think that's like a neat like learning experience. That's why I like it.
Yeah, no, I agree with everything that you just said. And for those of you listening who this was your first exposure to the Omegaverse and you don't know how some of these things work, we are actually going to be putting out a
Don't even
mini-sode
worry.
next week. And we're going to be, I'm actually going to be teaching Tabby all about it because I did hella research. So yeah, join us for that if you're interested. My question for you is, are there any things about the way that Allie wrote her vampires and werewolves that you liked better than or worse than the way you've read about these creatures in the past or like seen them portrayed in movies and stuff?
So like I kind of said earlier, I think it was just like a very different take on like vampires, for example. How typically they are like very indulgent creatures and how they do like to like live life in the fullest way possible. Whereas these are definitely more like structured, like archaic-ish. Like I don't know how to describe it really. Like it almost felt like we were in like a dystopian society.
It did feel that way,
Like it's
but
all
very
for the,
controlling.
yeah, the good of the whole. And so I thought that was very, very interesting and a very fresh take on vampires. And I think she did that just to add into kind of like that political diversity between the weres, the humans, and the vampires. I feel like the weres were pretty on brand for the most part in terms of like how they work. Like it was a pack, they're tight knit, they kind of all thought as one. So that wasn't too different. But yeah, just like the biology behind it was very cool. Like they weren't necessarily monsters, they were just a different species. Like they were just slightly different genetically. And that was neat.
I agree. That was one of my favorite things about this book because, again, I think that made it very Allie Hazelwood-esque as well, because everything to her was just, oh, yeah, like vampirism and lycanthropy. Like, it's just, that's a biological,
Mutation.
like, it's just happened. It evolved naturally. Like, they all share a common ancestor with humans, werewolves, vampires, but
And
they've
something
all
twisted along the
evolved.
way. I do feel like it kind of reminded me of the Cullens almost, the way they treat like drinking blood. Like it's not supposed to be like this overtly like sexual thing for the most part. And like Owen said, a lot of people do experiment with that. Like when they are intimate with like other vampires,
I forgot
but
about whenever she brought that up to Owen, and he
and
was
he was like,
like,
oh dear
Jesus
God.
Christ, misery.
Like that's kind of how it was in Twilight too. Like they drank like animal blood and they only did it when they had to and they didn't like overindulge. Whereas you did have like others who did that and like it was like kind of frowned upon. And so I did like the way they did that, like in terms of how feeding worked. Like it wasn't supposed to be anything like monstrous and inhumane. Like that was just how they fed themselves.
Yeah, again, it's just biology.
Like they're hungry too.
Yeah, exactly. I really liked that about her book. And I think I honestly preferred some of the ways that she wrote these species because it just felt refreshing, but it felt, I don't know, it felt more natural to me. Like,
Yeah.
because it's, they're not monsters in this universe. Like, they just exist.
They're just
And they don't get
people.
along with like the other species, but that's like, you know, a plot point. But
Yeah.
they're not seen as like monsters that are
They're not like
like,
aliens from a different planet.
yeah, it's like no shock to the humans that they
Yeah.
exist. And I liked that. I thought that was fun.
So that kind of wraps up Bride for us. Join us next week as we, well, I learn about the Omegaverse. Caitlin is going to explain it to me and to also you.
Yes.
And I have no clue what we're getting into.
And
Caitlin is the mastermind genius behind this.
I want to preface it, and I'll preface the actual episode too by saying I learned about this all myself in like one afternoon. So I am not an expert. I have never written anything myself. It's just I learned about it and I'm going to be teaching it to you. It's similar to that time that we knew nothing about the Italian and Russian mafias, but we explained it to you all
But don't
anyway.
worry, now we are all learned.
Now we all know. The next couple weeks, we're actually going to be taking a break. And so we were going to be back on September 23rd to discuss To Love Jason Thorne by Ella Mays. And then the very next week, we're going to roll right into the sequel to Hate Adam Connor. So there will be a
Yes.
2 week break, but then back to back action packed books.
So you all have time to go ahead and read both of those in that 2 week break.
Yes, because we know
Gotta take a
that's
little
time
vacation.
consuming. Yes. Okay. Wow. So get started on those books if you haven't already. We'll talk to you next time. And as always,
Let's get lit.